Old books. I keep telling you, they're worth reading. They can be hard, but they're so good. Just two paragraphs here from Charles Porterfield Crowth's The Conservative Reformation and Its Theology. The last two paragraphs of the introduction, it tells you how much I comment on things. I'd hope to have this part done last week. But it's really worth spending its time on. Remember, he has been teaching us to recognize that a true church, the church on earth that loves the Word of God, must have a balance between two poles. One which must sweep up and clean and deal with the decay, get the rust off, right? Dust. But which must not do so in a way that is revolutionary and radical, that the old proverb throws the baby out with the bathwater. The same church must also conserve. It must hold fast. It must guard, cherish, and cling to not just the Word of God, but all things that point us back to the Word of God. You don't need to reinvent the wheel. When you have something that has faithfully demonstrated the capability to retain those things the church lives from, breathes from, eats, well, why would you throw it out unless you're just a radical, right? And so he talks about having a balance, that the Reformation at its heart understands the need to clean house, but also understands the value of not tearing down the house. Now, in conclusion to this, before he gets into his actual work, and this is just the introduction, he talks about how you don't just therefore, because you say you're church, have the right to be right. You have to always be tested according to what Scripture says. So he says this, and these are tough words, but man, they're good. No particular church has, he says, on its own showing, a right to existence, except as it believes itself to be the most perfect form of Christianity, the form which of right should and will be universal. I mean, that's just a packed sentence. If you're going to claim to be the Christian church, but you don't believe you actually have all the truth of the Christian church, then you have no business claiming to be the Christian church. Because the Christian church, by definition from Scripture, is the foundation and buttress of the truth. It holds to the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ himself being the cornerstone. So either you believe your Christianity is pure, or you believe you don't have it, right? Because it is pure. And if you don't have it, you should try to find it. But you don't have the right to just set up shop and say, yeah, well, we got 50% of it, so we should be fine. No. No, you must strive and seek for what God has given to be found, right? Seek and ye will find, he said, not try to believe and maybe you'll get some of the truth eventually. Crowth goes on, no church has a right to a part which does not claim that it should belong to the whole. So if you're going to say, we have this thing that is church, it is Christianity, but not everyone has to believe it, you have to, by definition, be lying. Either it is the authentic Christianity and belongs to everyone and ought to be adopted by everyone, or it's not. And therefore, it's just your own opinion. And for the unity in the church, what's needed? Not our own ideas, not our own traditions, things that stand in the way. What we need is that thing that ought to belong to all of us, that which God has actually given. He says, that communion confesses itself a sect, S-E-C-T, a very important word, sect, a division, which aims at no more than abiding as one of a number of equally legitimated bodies. If you do not have the desire for concordia, to bring the church together around the truth which we all must believe because it's what Jesus says, then you're saying you're not really church, you're a divisive group, and that's all you can ever be because you're going to hold the things which divide us, which are not the Word of God. He says, that communion which does not believe in the certainty of the ultimate acceptance of its principles in the whole world has not the heart of a true church. That which claims to be Catholic de facto claims to be universal. Right? So, if you believe that what you believe is Christianity, then it's for everybody. There is no, it's okay for me, but not for you. There is no, well, we do it this way, but you can do it that way. Well, the only way that that's true is if you're clinging to human arrangement. And again, then therefore that does not make you church. What makes you church? God's word in all of its purity. And then that means dogma, right? Things that don't change. I mean, when Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life, no one comes to the Father except through me, is he half right? Or is he all right? And if you're going to say dogma divides, well, did that division that Jesus just created between those who believe he's the only way to heaven and those that are not, is that his division that he made? Or are we just dividing ourselves from him? And once we've divided ourselves from him, how can we say we're his church? Now, he's going to say some fighting words here about the Roman Catholics. And well, we Lutherans, we have our beef. So, you know, be patient with us if you're a Catholic out there listening right now. We should talk about these things. He says, a true unity in Protestantism would be the death of popery. But popery will live until those who assail it are one in their answer to the question, what shall take its place? Oh, man, what a sucker punch to us, though, right? Who's he really hitting there? Lutherans. Yeah. We and the rest of the Reformation, the Radical Reformation, which has been such a rifted thing. And this is a big argument the Roman Catholics always make against us, right? Look at Protestantism. It's all divided. How can it possibly not be the true church? Look at Rome. We're all united. Not as true as you'd think if you once you get under the belly. But, you know, they certainly appear united institutionally. But the idea that if we actually brought all those in the world that claim the name Christian, that claim to be Protestant Christians, to a unity in our faith, not in our organization. The ecumenical movement has tried that by removing the faith and just unifying institutionally. And all that's done is divide even more. If we were to come to a unity in our faith, the world would be unable to stand, at least against our confession. We'd be like those prophets in Revelation, breathing fire from our mouths. This book, he says, is a statement and defense of the answer given to that question by the communion under whose banner the battle with Rome was first fought. All right, that's we Lutherans. This book is going to try to defend the idea that the dogma, the doctrine, that now has this rather bizarre name Lutheran attached to it, is actual, full Christianity. And we're not talking about all our traditions. We're not talking about all of our just being who we are. We're talking about what we believe, teach, and confess that the Bible actually says. And what that means for what we do. We believe that that's actually pure Christianity. And if it's not, we want to be shown that it's not. We want to change it. We want to reform it. Right? We don't want to let the dust and the decay build up, but neither do we want to tear down the house. If this church, the Lutheran church, he says, has been a failure, it can be hardly be claimed that the Reformation was a success. And if Protestantism cannot come to harmony with the principles by which it was created, as those principles were understood by the greatest masters in the reformatory work, it must remain divided until division reaches its natural end, absorption and annihilation. I mean, again, fighting words. If we can't unify around what Jesus said, then we will dissipate. We will float. We will drift off with the garbage. But if we can unify around what Jesus said, then the Reformation of old was only the beginning. And the present battle against those arguments, those strongholds, which can't stand against the weapons of our warfare, the wisdom of Jesus, the words of Jesus, the person of Jesus, the gifts of Jesus, those strongholds will fall and fall and fall again, leaving that one foundation which remains.